Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome tonight. PGN. The place that we do it more than we talk about it, that is ministered to you personally, and tonight is literally that night where we do that all the way on Wednesday night. So I'm glad to be with you tonight. Thanks for being here. Hopefully all is well. And we are believing God for him to speak to us, what we need, what will help us along the way. Right, so that's what I'm doing too. So we're all doing that together. Really, really awesome. All right, hope you're doing good tonight. We're going to, let's see, let me get going here a second. Oh, there we go. All right, we are here, and come back here. Trying to get away from me here. All right, good to be with you tonight, and we're here live to minister to you, pray for you. We've got to help you along the way. So if you might need a little bit of that, or maybe a lot of that, we're here to help bring it to you. In Jesus' name, of course, everything's through Jesus Christ, right? He's the one who came in the earth and did the work. Wow, I think that'll preach. Let's go there for a second. Yeah. I love this stuff. Why do we use Jesus' name? What's so powerful about Jesus' name is the fact that he was omnipresent, but he wasn't in the earth, right? He wasn't made flesh and blood, a human being. God, the Word, was not made a human being. He was the Word that became flesh, right? And the reason that the Word needed to become flesh, God the Word, God the Father, God the Word, God the Spirit, was with God, is God, was with God, and came to dwell among us, right? Full of grace and truth. And the reason that God needed somebody to, from the heavenlies, that God wanted to recreate a human being through another human being, and it had to be the seed of God, pure, no genetic deficiencies, because he needed a human being, a physical flesh and blood human being in the earth to do a work. And if you heard me talk a little bit about, like, one of the examples we use with, you know, with the Hebrew language God gave me, as my first language he gave me, and when I got baptized in the Spirit and spoke in other languages, according to the scripture, it was Hebrew, right? So I didn't know it was Hebrew until years later. And when I got it interpreted to a Palestinian, literally to a Palestinian, he's kind of amazing with what's going on in Israel. He was a Palestinian. He just got saved. Anyway, so the language that he gave me was Hebrew. So we can see how that God can use someone like Jesus, of course, knew the Hebrew language and, you know, other languages too. I guess I don't know what all he knew, but what he spoke. But the languages of that nation, of the nation of Israel and the surrounding areas, I'm sure. Anyway, so, but what happened was when God gave me the Hebrew language, I now understand this for the first time that it was to, you know, when Michael the Archangel came and, you know, visited me in a dream, and check me out, didn't say anything, just check me out. You know, I didn't understand it for years. And now that we're getting closer to things, you know, cool that now I'm starting to understand that, you know, since he rules over the people, if you will, as an angel, he's the head angel over Israel, the one who does warfare, and he's the one who's going to cast Satan down, according to Revelation 12, as we read last night, that, you know, it's amazing that God gives somebody in the natural human realm, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? He's not in earth anymore. So now he needs people like you and I to do our job in the earth, to agree with him on the earth for things to be done. That's why Jesus had to come into the earth with flesh and blood and not sin and win the victory, go through all these tests and trials and come through them victorious so that he could do it in the earth realm. It had to be done in the earth realm, right? So God needed, that's why Jesus said, when it talks about being born again, you must be born of a woman first, born of water. That's talking about being born of a woman. Why? Why? Because Jesus had to be born of a woman. Had to be born of water, you know. And so when he was born of water, then that means he was a human being. And then, you know, he could do his work and do the work on earth, having not been born a sinner, but was born righteous and stayed righteous all of his life. That the importance of that was so vital to God's work getting done in the earth, because now he had a vessel that was that couldn't be tempted. I mean, it couldn't be, didn't yield to temptation, didn't sin, didn't never failed. You know, learned obedience to the things he suffered, but he never sinned or rebelled against God in any fashion. So therefore, he could be used 100% in the earth realm for the Father. Extremely important. So in the fact that God has now Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And in heavenly places, he's not here anymore. He's in heaven, right? So what does he do in the earth now? He uses people like you and I to come into agreement with him, to pray and to speak things, to agree with heaven, to get things done in the earth through a earthly person, born again earthly person, born of a woman earthly person, to obey his word to get the job done. So when he gave me that heavenly language, you know, it was to now God can give directions to Michael, of course, in the heavens, of course, all that, but he needs somebody, you know, in the earthly realm to communicate and, you know, do some things that some things could be done in earth through Michael, by Michael, a connection in the earth. So when I realized, you know, the reason God sent him to me in a dream vision, and he just never said, he didn't have a message for me, right? It wasn't that he came with a message. He came with a, you know, he was spying out the land, spying me out. And so it was pretty cool, and now I'm starting to understand that more and more all the time, how important it is that you and I come in agreement with God, because God's going to get something done in the earth realm, in your family, in your life. He's going to do it through you agreeing with the heavens, right? God speaks to you. He needs somebody in the earth to come in agreement with him to, you know, change your DNA. You know, you could be the one chosen to change the DNA in your family, or at least begin the changes in a major way. And so, but you have to overcome, just like Jesus Christ when he went to the into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He overcame. You know, he overcame in the earth. He overcame temptations in the earth. And when he did, the Holy Spirit was able to empower him so that he could do the work of God. Right? He was just like. In one sense, he was just a flesh and blood human being, but the thing that was different was he was God in the flesh, and he never sinned, but yet he was a human being who could, you know, bleed and, you know, eat and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, very important. So one of the things that we need to understand, get a hold of, that if God's going to do something in the earth through you, for you in your behalf, or your heritage, whatever God has for you to do in the earth, whatever he's chosen you and called you for in the earth, you're the one that's going to have to obey God in the earth, right? He's not going to wait for you to go to heaven and in the heavenly start obeying God. You're going to obey God right now, just like Jesus did. That's why he had to submit his will to the Father. Why? Because he had to do the will of God on the earth to establish something in the earth. If something's going to be established in your life, in my life, for God, in your family, in your heritage, in your area, in your region, whatever's going on, whatever your calling is, you know, that's why you know, just like with Jesus, had to be born in the earth to become our Savior. He couldn't just send an angel. Jesus couldn't just become an angel. Right? He had to become flesh and blood in the earth realm. Thy kingdom come. That's why Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that's why disobedience is so looked upon by God as just, you know, really sad, because he can't get anything done in earthly agreement. That two or more agree as touching a thing, that it shall be done. Right? So two or more have to agree. Matthew says that. And so I didn't get prepared for this. It's just kind of flowing out of me tonight. So I'm starting to understand, you know, the things that God has for me to do in my life. In other words, the reason it was important for me to do all the things I've done for PGN and for the Lord and for, you know, and God's obeying him, was because he's trying to establish something in the earth for his people, for his kingdom. His kingdom will come only through you as you obey him. If you're in disobedience and you just decide to do your own thing, as we can do, you know, that's why Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane was choosing to say, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. Because, friend, let me tell you something. If you're not obeying the will of God, you know, in the earth, there's not anything that's going to be done of God for you. It's not just going to fall on you. You have to come into agreement with him in obedience to him, right? You have to come in agreement with him in obedience to him. And if you don't do that, it will not be established. It will not work. What God wants to do for you, through you, cannot happen without your obedience. That's why obedience is everything. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's why God didn't like Saul, because Saul just kept, you know, Samuel the prophet told him what the word of the Lord was. You know, so there you go. You got a human being called Samuel in the earth, a flesh and blood human being who's hearing from God, told somebody in the earth that God wanted him to know, the king, King Saul, go to that Gilgal, or what, Gilgal, wherever he went to kill the king. He said, you should kill them all. Don't take any animals or take anything. You need to destroy all of that. So there must have been something wrong, really wrong with that, the DNA in that group of people, or God would not have had him to destroy all of them. See, your DNA and what you are, who you are, gets into everything. It gets into your animals. It gets into the atmosphere. It gets into everything, right? And your children are born with it. So when back then, because there was no salvation where you can get new blood like we do today, God had them. He said, I want you to go and kill them all. Like, that sounds ruthless. Why would God do that? Because there obviously was something really wrong with their DNA, to the point that their DNA had gotten really nasty, really, you know, abominable or something. Something was wrong with it. Or God wouldn't have said, you know, the animals and everything. Why not just keep the animals? Well, see, Saul didn't understand that. When Samuel, who was the human being in the earth who heard God's word and gave God's heavenly word to the earth, the king, to do something in the earth, and he didn't do it, what was God trying to do? He was trying to destroy that particular tribe of people because their iniquity had obviously come up to heaven, and there was, you know, they needed to be eliminated. So what did Saul do? Now he decides he's going to do his own thing. So what happened? If you're familiar with the scripture where Haman came from that family. He was one of the children of the king. I think he was the son of the king that Samuel ended up, you know, taking his head off after Saul wouldn't do it. Right? Haman, you know who Haman was, right? Anybody remember who Haman was? Haman was the one who was, you know, going to destroy all the Jews. And he had a vindictive spirit toward the Jews, toward, you know, Samuel and the Jewish people, because he was like Hamas in a sense, you know, Haman, Hamas, I don't know if it's the same, but, you know, so Haman was, you know, because God spared, because Saul in disobedience spared the king at first, of course, Samuel killed the king, and his child, his son, who ended up being Haman, who ended up living and later causing a bunch of trouble for Esther. Remember Queen Esther? And Haman was the guy who's going to hang all the Jews. Remember all that? Because he had a vindictive spirit toward the Jewish people, because Saul, well, mainly Samuel, you know, killed his father. Right. So when you look at all that, it's pretty amazing that the fact that your obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, and so when I don't know if God explained to Samuel why he was having him take them all out. I really don't know if he did that or not. It doesn't really, as far as I know, it doesn't say. But why would God eliminate a whole tribe of people? Right. I mean, God just doesn't kill people just to be killing them. There's a reason for it, because back then they couldn't get redemption through the blood. So when obviously Haman was the result of, you know, what was in their blood. Right. He was like a little Hitler. Right. You just think if Saul would have taken out, of course, if Saul would have taken him out, Haman wouldn't be alive, wouldn't have been alive. We would have the book of Esther probably, but, you know, but still you can see kind of what's going on with there. Right. So your obedience is extremely important to get God's will done on earth. And just think, you wake up one of these days and say, you know, Haman, you know, cause thank God Haman was successful in killing the Jews, but look what the trouble that he almost did. Came really close. And if it wouldn't have been for Esther, it would have been big time trouble, right? Haman would have been victorious, and because of Saul's disobedience, Haman was alive to kill all those Jews and hang them all publicly, right? But thank God we know what happened. And through another obedient, now watch out what God, this is all fresh tonight, y'all, so y'all hanging with me about trying to get all the information exactly correct here. You know, God, you know, thank God through an obedient servant like Esther, when Esther went to the king, you know, kind of broke the protocol and went into the king, and she could have been killed, she could have been, you know, taken out, because you just didn't do that, what she did, and she did it to save her people and risk her life. What was that? That was an extreme level of obedience. And look what happened. She turned what Saul didn't do. Ooh, this is hot, man. She turned what Saul didn't do in taking out Haman and his iniquitous, bloody family, obviously, because God's going to take them out. They had to be really full of it. They were probably, and who knows? They were a bunch of blasphemers. I don't know what they were. But you see with Haman is a product of what God was trying to say. Let's get rid of him. Are y'all aware of all that? Have you ever seen the movie? If you can see the movie sometime, I think Matt Crash put it together years ago. I forget the name of the movie, but it's about Queen Esther. Anyway, it's really, really interesting. And when you start seeing all that stuff, you start realizing how important obedience is to God, friend, right? Because the things that you don't take care of, guess what? They might end up messing something up down the road. And that was a real threat. Haman was a real threat. And the fact that Esther obeyed, what if she had disobeyed? All those Jews would have been killed. Right? So I think we can even liken that today to what's going on in Israel. And I don't know exactly how right now, but I'm not going to go there. But the friend, it's very interesting that that's the scripture, that is the very scripture where it says in 1 Samuel, 15, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me look that up real quick. First Samuel 15:22, Samuel tells the king, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams, of the fat of rams. So in other words, God was saying, your obedience is better than anything. You know, don't you just hate it when you have people who offend constantly? Maybe you offend your family, maybe you offend you, maybe you offend everybody, and they always say they're sorry, but then they never change. Oh, I'm sorry. And then they do the same thing again. Oh, I'm sorry. They do the same thing again. That's kind of what they're talking about. Like people who just, have a demon, have something that's uncontrollable. They can't control themselves. So every time the pressure gets on them, they start doing the same thing that they always did. They never really learned anything. And so that's kind of a thing where you're always saying you're sorry. In fact, Ward Cumberland, he said, I'm tired of people telling me they're sorry. I want to see them change. I'm tired of them telling me I'm sorry. I want to see them change. It's like after a while, God knows that you're sorry is not really even repentance anyway. Right? That's really what happened. He says, that's kind of what he's saying right here. Saul knew what to do. He was told plainly, but there was no question. He did not. Did the Lord say, keep one or keep 20 or take them all out? I can't remember. No, Samuel spoke to him specific details. He knew exactly. Therefore, he had no excuse. So when his reason was, well, we could take these cattle and these animals and we can offer up some sacrifices to the Lord. You know, and so even though I'm disobedient, you know, we can take some of the stuff I'm disobedient with and outdoor. So I don't want your I'm sorry, you know, with that. I want you to repent. I want you to do what I say, because if you don't, you don't bring the kingdom of God in that area of your life into action. If you take a step of obedience, your step of obedience will activate heaven's throne or whatever God's trying to do in the earth. And we can see from this circumstance that his disobedience, Saul's disobedience allowed, I keep wanting to say Hamas, Haman, some of the same thing, Hamas, Haman, H-A-M-A-N-H-A-M-A-S, Haman, you know, lived because and was able to, you know, work his way through. Watch the scheming that went on with Haman. If you really read the story, Haman was a big schemer. He was really good at scheming. He was evil. He was wicked, which tells you why God was telling Saul to get rid of all of them, because he knew that they were going to be trouble for what? For the kingdom of God. What happened? Exactly that. Thank God, God used Esther to save his people. Right? Yeah. Because Saul sure didn't. And, yeah, and it's amazing how that her uncle, you know, helped her to obey God. He said, "What, you know, God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this." That's what her father-in-law, that's what her father-in-law told her.
Let me go there. Hang on a second. Okay.
All right. Yeah, Mordecai, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So Mordecai had taken her for his own daughter, and he had influenced her for such a time as this, right? Y'all remember that? And told her that, you know, God was getting ready to use her. Maybe she was called to the kingdom, and with her beauty and with her, you know, spirit, the way she was going to be used for the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, that's that exactly. I have to look it up here. Find it here. I'm looking all this up. I can tell you the reason for it. All right, Esther 4:14. If thou, for if altogether holdest thy peace, if you hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, it'll come from somewhere else if it doesn't come from you. So this is kind of what we're talking about tonight. It's either going to come from you, friend, or it's going to come from somebody else, but God's going to do it. Right? You know, Mordecai is telling her, he took her in as his daughter when her mother and father died, and he loved her, and he told her the truth. So he says to her, you know, for if you altogether hold your peace or don't say anything at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews will come from another place. In other words, if you're not going to be you, be somebody else. And this is what Esther was trying to learn. God using Mordecai to try to teach her that, you know, it's going to come from you or somebody else. If God chooses you to do it. You know, Catherine Coleman said one time that God had chosen somebody else to do that, the miracle ministry, but they rejected it. And, you know, that kind of shows you right here that Mordecai told Esther, he said, if you don't do it, if you hold your peace and you don't say anything to protect yourself, you know, God will raise up somebody else. He told her, no, you just don't ever know. You know, you could have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. Well, they are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So it's really, really interesting. All right, very interesting. All right, you guys, good to be with you tonight. And we're going to start ministering in just a moment. I'm going to make sure I'm finished with this. See, I love the way the Lord led us into this tonight. So cool, because what he was, what the whole point with Esther for such a time as this is, in Mordecai was saying, it's going to be you or somebody else. You know, if you hold your peace to keep the Jews from being protected, then it'll arise from another place. So, you know, and so when you obey God in your life and you do what he says, then it will establish you as a servant, and God will establish his blessing in your life. But you have to be the one that has to obey, right? It's going to be you or somebody else. Who's it going to be? You know, with me, in areas of my life, you know, it's like God says, you know, if you don't do this wealth transfer thing, you know, I'll just use somebody else. I'll do it to somebody else. You can have the blessing, you can have the pleasure of doing it with me and have the result in your life for it that I'm going to bless you with for being a part of the end times. You know, my main thing is not money. It's not really about money at all. God's, my inheritance is the Lord, because I'm a priest. Right? When you're a priest, your true inheritance is from the Lord. If otherwise, it's different, but I got that revelation a long time ago, and then when my family didn't get one penny from my inheritance. Oh, no, I got a shotgun from my dad. They gave me a shotgun. My dad had like two or three shotguns and a .22, something else. I got a shotgun. Yeah, I did get a shotgun, so I'm thankful for that, but other than that, that was it, right? I mean, out of, you know, a lot. My mom and dad had gathered a lot. And so, but the Lord had already spoken to me, Randy, I am your inheritance. So I began to realize this several years ago, and it kind of woke me up to things I'd never really seriously taken serious. So I began to do that, and as I did, I began to see why things worked out the way they worked out. Once you start understanding your calling, and if you listen to God and he explains things to you, you may understand why some things don't come your way. Instead of getting upset about it and bitter and resentful, you may, you know, like I'm sure I would have done, that I listened to the Lord, and so when it didn't happen, I go, okay, God, I mean, I didn't call him up and say, don't give me my inheritance from mom and dad, and, you know, and my grandfather's passed down stuff to them, I know, and my grandfather had a Doug's Barbecue in Amarillo, Texas, very prosperous thing. They passed, you know, that money down to them, and they got several people, you know, passed money down to them. There was money there, right? But I never saw one penny of it. And so if it hadn't been for the Lord telling me, Randy, I'm going to take care of you. So this whole thing with the wealth transfer has nothing to do with me and money, as far as me personally and having that. If God did that, it'd be awesome. But that's not the point. The point is that my reward is I'm going to be able to be right in the middle of the end times. Why? Because I chose God over money. Right? Sometimes you have to choose God over money. You know, in my case, my job, the thing that I'm honored the most to do is to be a part of being right in the middle of the end times, right in the middle of it. I mean, right, that's just directly slapjack, whatever you want to say, in the middle of all of it. And if you've been paying attention, you know kind of what I'm talking about. But it's just beginning. And so those who are part of the financial part of helping us do that and take care of things and whatever God has them do, if God's telling you to do that, that's what God's telling you to do. God will reward you for that, right? But as far as me, I'm not looking for the money. You know, you can tell, you can see, you know, we took 90% of our what we had stored up and have turned it into an investment for the body of Christ. Not for us, but for the body of Christ. And that's not one penny of that. It's for me. That 90%, whatever, you know, we kept enough to pay bills, and that was about it. So if you need any extra money, you might have to go somewhere else right now, right? Okay. Yeah, you might have to go out somewhere else. Yeah. So we positioned ourselves where we're just, you know, yeah. So anyway, but it's all good. God is good. It's amazing. And so it's really happening, and the Lord is really, you know, of course, in my obedience to Him doing that, I see how he's positioned me to be, you know, in the one of the greatest positions I think any servant of God could ever be in. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's others that are the same exactly. I don't know, but I know that for me, it's positioned me, but it was through my obedience. God says, are you going to be willing to offer up Isaac, Abraham? Yes, I will. Was it easy? Was it simple? No, he knew he trusted God. But by the time he got older, I think he was older than 90. He's probably like 100 something, right? Because he had Isaac when he was 99 or 100, and then he grew up after that. So he's 100. So you know, I'm 70. You know, when you get older, you start seeing you trusted God. You've been blessed to find out that God's going to take care of you. He'll resurrect whatever it needs to. Needs to happen, and I've seen it over and over and over again. He'll resurrect whatever. I don't have to worry about if I offer everything up to God, if he's not going to bring it back somehow or another. Because you see that's what he does. So it loosens you from the fear of people stealing from you. That's why Jesus didn't care about Judas stealing from him. I get whatever, you know. I mean, what's the money thing, man? I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. Who cares about the money stuff? Judas, he knew Judas was stealing. People get so wrapped up in the money part. And everything becomes about the money. Well, you know, some people are called to make money and work the money thing. They're called to that. I know people who have a calling to that. I don't have a calling to that. I've never had a calling to that. I have a calling to do what I'm doing. And other people who have a calling to give and be a part of that's a blessing to them. And then whatever they're obeying God in, then God will put them right in the middle of whatever he wants in the middle of. But are you going to obey? Are we going to obey what God is saying in our everyday life? You know? So when you do that, friend, I guarantee you, like with me in my thing, I've been tested and tried many, many times. I told you about the billionaire guy, the multi-billionaire guy that God told me to send him a letter, an email that I knew was going to offend him. I didn't want to do it. I'm like, he actually literally obeys and hands you money. I mean, what do I want to stop that for? And God just said, well, just do it, man. Just do it. Are you willing to offer that up? Okay, God, you know best. And so sure enough, exactly, you know what happened? He never gave another nickel after that. Yeah. Yeah. And I knew that was going to happen. God says, you know, are you going to obey me or not? And then I found out what I corrected him over, which I didn't know before. Everything those people that knew him told me, that's exactly right, Randy. And obviously he never got it right or whatever. I'm going, I don't know. So I found out that my offering to God was better than sacrifice. I'd have to go, well, I'm sorry, God. And then 5 years later down the road when he's trying to buy me off, I don't even do things I'm not supposed to be putting pressure on me and causing me trouble. I don't have that trouble. Right? Why? Because I offered it up to God. It wasn't something that was going to be. It was happening. It was literally happening. And then he had me basically give all those $100 bills away to other people, which I didn't understand either. I'm going, why are you having me do this? Just do it, Randy. Okay. Whatever you say. And literally, I mean, I could get the people here on the show. There are people, that one group live in Waco, Texas. I help them remodel their church with that batch of money. Yeah, God said, just give it away. Give it. Bless. I went, ay. So you never know. Your obedience to God is what's going to set you up, man. It's not your money. God don't care about your money as far as that. He will use your money because you earn it. It's important to you. He will use it as an offering to him. Amen? So what do you want, your money or you want God? Like with me, you know, we stored up cash for years in the bank account for the ministry to get a building or something to pay, buy water and do that. And the Lord says, I know you thought this would be for that, but I want you to take 85%, 90% of it, and I want you to make it an investment for the body of Christ. It's not for you. It's not for the building. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm sure some people will help, man, out of whatever they're going to do with the investment part of it and what they make of it. I'm sure that they'll probably help. I don't know. They don't have to. Just like in Egypt, when they came out with the gold and silver, right? They didn't have to give when they got in the wilderness. He said, remember, Moses said, take off your rear rings and we're going to make then they made a golden calf, but later they made an Ark of the Covenant. With that gold and silver that came from there, they didn't have to do that. They didn't give everything they had. They gave portions of it, right? And it did become for the building, but it was given to them by God. Amen? So you can see how that, God does a thing to test you to see if you're going to do it. And then when you do it, he turns around and he goes, well, yeah, now we're going to use that. Now it's going to come back to you in another way. But there's no guarantee, because when you give money away, you don't have any guarantee that somebody's going to turn around and say, okay, we love you, man. We're going to have to, build that building, buy that property, whatever it is, buy you lunch, whatever the thing. You never know. There's no guarantee. That's why giving it away is an offering, because you're never guaranteed anything back. You don't even give anything to get anything back. Right? You give it to get back from God, but not back from the people that you give it to. The people try to obligate you. You owe me. I've been faithful to you. You take care of me. And which I've had a lot of that since I pastored for years. And, you get all the kinds of things. People think all kind of things, about money and the ministry. It's amazing. So there you go. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. And, we've got to share with us whatever he wants to share. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm going through this here. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And my first caller tonight, 202, second 214-646, next is at 240-325 after that, 915-929 after that, 915-248 after that, 610-969-803-991-847-505, 720-819 after that, 863-605-804-370, 863-808 after that, 111 after that, 919-995 after that. Then there's three people who don't have their hand up. All right. So thank you for being with us tonight. Let's take our first caller and see what's going on here. All right, 202-722. Who am I talking to in room, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul and Nicole from Maryland and D.C.
All right. You guys, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus, my brother God. We thank you, Jesus, for praise life, God. We thank you for him offering himself up to you to be used by you in whatever way you want, God, that he will not be telling you how to use him, but he will yield to you And as he does, his desires will begin to, because when you give your desires to God, then God begins to give you the desires for what he wants to use you for. And Lord, I thank you for those desire realms. It's so easy to desire things from God than it is to try to figure out what God's saying when God can speak through our desires. I give you the desires of your heart. So I thank you, Lord, for those desires and bringing those things to pass in his life, God, to show him how to keep those desires, his desires in God's desire realm. And, you know, I think Psalms 34, Psalms 37, I think, we're talking about that. Hang on, let me go there a second. Go there. I think it's Psalm 37. Yeah, here we go. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Let me go here and just open it up. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you go to Psalm 37, you find out, and I'm sure you've been there many times, but when you start seeing here that the process of keeping your desires in the Lord, God, and showing Daryl Paul more revelation on how to do this. So he can only do it for himself, but he can teach other people how to get into that place to where God leads you and guides you by your desires, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? What happens? Because your desires get turned over into him, and you desire in him more and more and more all the time, right? Then he gives you, as you delight in him, in other words, enjoy him, and get, be, you know, in love with him, love him, delight in him, then what happens is your desires begin to turn from water to wine. Amen. You get wine desires instead of water desires. The wine desires are the desires from the heart of God, the blood of God, the heart of God, right? The blood, the heart, the desires of your heart. And so I thank you, Lord, that as he offers his water to you, like Jesus turned the water into wine, that he would turn those water desires into, you know, desires of wine. And then turn that water into wine for him. And Jesus said, wow, I never thought about it like that before, Daryl. Well, that's really awesome. Wow, I've never given that like that before. That's really cool. Wow. I bet Nicole is like going, I want that to be my word. Woo, yeah. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But for that, for Daryl Paul in Jesus' name, because what happens is when we, you know, live in that delight realm, our desires lead us and guide us. You know, it is the word of God. Our hearts become one with him. It's not about, God, show me what's going on. Your heart is going like, God, I delight in you. I delight in you. I delight in you. When you delight in him, then your desires turn into the wine realm. You're right. We partake of the drink of his heart. Woo! That's hot, man. That is hot, brother. I feel the anointing on that, my God. Well, I just asked you that for Nicole, too. I'm just going to go ahead and just pass that on. That is hot. That is hot. I've never heard that before like that. That is absolutely mind-boggling. Wow. Do y'all feel the anointing on that? Dear Jesus. That is like dear Jesus stuff. Hushe kushapa hamakatani koha parahota. Yeah, even in Jesus' most struggling battle he ever had was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, the reason that he was able to say, you know, even though he said, you know, if there's any way this cup to pass, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The only reason he could turn to that so quick is because he delighted in the Father. His delight in God drew him to just, you know, not disappoint the Father for one second. You know, if there's any way to let this thing pass, you know, let's do it. But nevertheless, not my will. Why? Because he delighted in God. He delighted in the Father. Ooh, poshere paha. God, man, I feel the anointing on this. And it went from water to wine. Ooh, it went from, you know, the desire realm. Our desires go into his desires, which turns into blood. The bleeding, the blood-pumping heart of God in our chest. Ooh, shekata maota. Fete poshiri proteco. Mahbunda pawa shekora koriho paleho sheklinge kalakuka patawa inde ahapa. Yes, it's like when we take communion, we're actually moving into the realm of turning water into wine. We're getting the heart of God. Jesus was on the cross, Nicole, because he desired the Father's will. He gave his life because he desired to please the Father. Whoo! Faith is the only thing that pleases God. And our faith is birthed out of this delighting in God. When we delight in God, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the heart of God, the heart, the blood, the pumping, the blood. Uche fa'pa mahare kato. And then what we desire. Like, have you heard from the Lord this week? Somebody asked me, well, I desire the Lord. And yeah, this morning I woke up with some new desires. And guess what? It's happening. Why? Because we move from, oh, did you hear the voice of God, to understanding that the voice of God creates, you know, when we, faith comes by hearing, when we hear, because we delight in him, that turns from our mind or whatever to our heart, where our heart desires. We're pumping the heart of Jesus, the blood of Jesus through our heart. And his blood comes to, you know, with blood sends nutrition and oxygen to the body, right? So when we get the heart, when we trade our heart for the heart of God, then we tap into the blood realm of God's heart. And that blood begins to pump oxygen, which is the breath of God, the ruach of God. The ruach of God. And then our heart begins to beat with the desire of the Father. How do we know what to do? We desire it. Hallelujah. Wow, that was hot, man. Dear Jesus. Woo-ha. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Psalms 37:4. That's awesome. We're going to go, man. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Hallelujah. Mesheke Pawata. That's awesome, you guys. All right, thank you. All right. 214-646, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord. There's this whole thing about the passion of Christ, and I can feel it in the air. It's like we're moving to this new realm of the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ. What was his passion? He desired to please the Father. It's like girls. Girls are made to want to please their father. And when their father doesn't understand that and has problems and issues, maybe he's caught up in the business or work or he's hurting himself, and you don't give that daughter that joy of desiring them back, you know, it causes problems. And so so I thank you, Jesus, that when little girls desire to please their daddy, that when they get older, like Kenesha, God, as we get older and we get mature in you, Jesus, you start that same desire. Daddy is so passionate, is so strong that, you know, what faith is the only thing that pleases him. So true faith is really the passion of wanting to please the Father, which a girl is already born with that. The daddy wants to please their daddy. And then when the daddy responds, that fellowship with the daughter and the father is so amazing that it just confirms the girl as being, you know, you are his daughter. You're the daughter of the King. You're the daughter of the Lord. You're the daughter of God. The daughter of God. You're a God daughter. Woo, peche, pa. So it all moves into how can I pray and get what I need to how can I please the Father. And when you do that, we find that our needs, seek first the King of God and his desires. Seek first the King of God and his kingdom and his righteousness and his desires. And all those things get added. Ushe ponga wato pawahe. Baka. Thank you, Lord, for nurturing that daughter, father, pleasure-seeking daughter to please her daddy in heaven. And how the daddy just loves and cherishes and, you know, and because the daughter is so intent on pleasing her daddy, she knows that relationship, her daddy's going to take care of her. Her daddy's, I mean, it's not even a question. Faith is born out of that. It's born out of that relationship. And there's no question, is God going to take care of me? Is God going to protect me? Is God going to watch over me? Is God going to take care of my enemies for me? Because I'm a little girl, I can't do it. Our enemies are bigger than us, Tanisha. They're giant. They're huge. And God is our daddy. And that is God is your daddy. And your enemies are bigger than you. They have more than you. And it's like a little girl going, Daddy, these people are big bullies. They're trying to mess with me because I'm just trying to, you know. And he comes in and he just you know, takes care of business, right? He lets them know, you know, hey, I will take you out. You mess with my baby. So I thank you, Lord, for that love. You got that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. You got that love and feeling. Yeah. Hallelujah. Toward the Father. The Father of love. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I'll love you all the days of my life. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, Father, Father, I'm always yours every day and night. Amen. Wow, what is going on tonight? I don't know, but Jesus. Lord, our everything is moving from trying to get things done, trying to get this and that and get that and make this, you know, do this for us and do this for us, to the direct intervention pleasure of the Father, the pleasing of the Father, the pleasing of the Father. And when the Father shows his pleasure toward the daughter, that's everything she needs. That's the only thing she needs. And therefore, it makes her feel safe and comforted and protected and loved. Lord, I thank you for establishing that more and more in her life every day. And she's named for Terrence. God, we thank you for Terrence, the same thing. God, you, that that father and son relationship, Father, just like Jesus and the Father, his passion was to please his Father. You can tell by he says, he lived to do only what the Father, you know, I only do what I see my Father do. Lord, I thank you for the eyesight, God. I thank you for the insight you're giving Terrence, God, to see what the Father's doing, because not because of some strange, you know, looking to the, you know, into the heavens trying to figure out what God's doing, but that heartbeat fellowship, Father. In Jesus' name, for his faith, Father, is settled in you as, you know, not my will, but thy will be done, Father, in Jesus' name. That's why the Father loved Jesus so much, because he knew, even before he began his ministry, he said at the baptism of John, he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. That's before he did anything as far as his ministry goes, because he knew the heart of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, you know the heart of parents, God. You know his heart, God. You know the pleasure he wants to bring you. You know that he wants to do only what he sees you do, only what he sees you do, God. And God, you're going to perform that and walk, let him walk in that, live in that in Jesus' name. With a passionate love. That's why the Bible says that love is the greatest. Because love and delight and passion is what ignites, you know, every desire of the Father. It's about a relationship more than just trying to get things done. It's more of a relationship. And I thank you, Lord, that Terrence has it with you, Jesus, and that you're watering that and increasing that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 240-482, who am I talking to your friend, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
All right, Valerie, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to use her, God. Sure, that you're going to use her. You want to use her, God. You want to, as you planted her into this world, to show her that when you brought her into this earth, you planted her like a tree planted by the waters. God, you planted her. You put her here to do things, to accomplish things. And that if she does not accomplish them, then you'll have to go down the road to find her. You've chosen her to do things through her, God, and show her that. Open that up to her, God, that whole thing of I've chosen you. Only you can do the things that I need done. Now, I can go do things in another family and use another family. But they're all, you know, in Mary's family, you know, Mary had to be the one to say, you know, yes, let it be done to me according to thy word. Because God chose her. God chose, and you've chosen Valerie, God, to do certain things that nobody else can do. Sometimes you can pass it down. It can happen to another family, but God wants to use your family. He wants to use you to bring those blessings into your family, upon your family. Lord, I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that she comes into agreement with you, Lord, to serve you and serve you only, to bow down to you and you only. And Jesus, that you will reveal to her that calling, that choosing, that love relationship. That the reason you called her and chose her, God, is because you love her. Your love for her is awesome. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's passionate. It's powerful. Hallelujah. It's purposeful. In Jesus' name, it has purpose to it. In the name of the Lord, I thank you, Lord, for revealing it to her, God. You have chosen her. Let her hear the words, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And let her answer the call. Let it be done unto me according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. And then birth within her that new thing, God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 325-280. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Yeah, it's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that abundance, God, that abundance realm, the whole abundance realm, the abundance of love, the abundance of compassion, the abundance of faith, the God that you've called him to the realm of abundance in every area. It's not just about one area. It's about, you know, truly the 100-fold realm is about abundance. That is abundance in every area. Because 100-fold means fully blessed in every area. That's what true 100-fold is. True 100-fold is not just blessed with your, you know, with the ability to have a great business or to have great wealth or to have great family. It is all those things. Lord, I thank you for broadening his faith, showing him that all he has to do is come into agreement with the word abundance. Abundance, 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 abundance. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that as he finds out what that abundance is about, that it's to nurture and bless every part of his life, God. Hallelujah. Just like Job. Job was blessed in every part of his life. He had abundance. He had children. He had family. He had livestock. He had everything. He had land. He had property. He had a wife. He had a family. He had all that. And he had servants. In Jesus' name, because he was a man who just didn't serve God for money, because he got tested with the money thing. When the money thing fell apart temporarily, you know, it was to see what he did. He didn't know right away what he did. You can tell Job was blessed with a true 100-fold realm because when it happened, he said, God, though you slay me, I'm going to praise you. But that showed the devil and everybody else. He wasn't just in it for the money. He wasn't just in it for the financial part. He wasn't just in it to look good. He wasn't just in it to be popular and well-known and the man of the hour. He was in it because he loved God. And you give and you take, God. If you give it to him and you take it back, you know, that's going to be yours. You know, I'm going to praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for that word abundance, Lord. You show him what that word of abundance means so he can open up every area of his life to that full abundance, that true 100-fold blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, abundance, 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 a bundle of abundance, a bundle of abundance. In Jesus' name, giving bundles of abundance, God, bundles meaning in each area, a bundle here, a bundle there, 100-fold bundles everywhere. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, open him up. Let his faith begin to soar, God, like an eagle in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. In Jesus' name. And manifestation. Abundant manifestation. Abundance of manifestation. A manifestation of abundance. Amen. All right. All right, 915-929, who would call through your friend, please?
It's Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen from Texas. All right, good to have you tonight, Carmen. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that Adonai. Adonai. Let me look up Adonai. I don't know what Adonai means. Adonai. Okay, the Hebrew word Adonai. Here we go. Okay, I don't know if this isn't going to read it right. Hebrew word Adonai. Let's see the word Adonai. The Hebrew Adonai occurs 195 times. Every occurrence but two, Adonai is translated with the pronoun my. Translation of this word, Adonai, is Adon means never includes the pronoun my. The two verses which it does not appear in the version, because the meaning of any word is determined. Okay, I'm just trying to go here. Meaning of the word Adonai is my Lord. Okay, so it's my Lord. So what he's trying to say is Adonai, I've never looked this before. I'm looking it up right now. I Googled it, and it's a study. You'll see when you Google it, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth, a study of the Hebrew word Adonai. You might look at that, but it's talking about, I didn't know this about Adonai, but it means my. Translated the word my. So, and then he goes on down here and he says, always begins to be, is my Lord. My Lord, not just Lord, but my Lord. The interpretation must be taken from the context. It is a context that will determine whether it is. Okay, so it's talking, he's just telling you how to do this here. My God. So it's not just my, you know, if Jesus was saying, my God, you know, he was my God. When Jesus, okay. I can't read all this stuff because it's too much, but. I'm trying to get the overall understanding here of this because I don't know what the Adonai means exactly. Right. My Lord and Master. Adonai. All right, you know, I'm just flying here as I go. So Adonai has to do with my Lord. So there's something God's really doing this thing about, you know, the Lord being my Lord or your Lord. And, very personal. The Lord is my provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider's grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. He supplies all my needs, according to his riches and glory. I don't know what's going on with that, but that's the word I got right away, just immediately, was Adonai. So I thank you, Lord, that everything that applies to Adonai, my Lord, in her life, that it will not be, you know, it will be very personal, like the to meet her needs. Every need that she has, in Jesus' name, God, that will be my Lord met my need. And right now it's exactly 10:10 my time. It's 10:09. Well, 10:09. my microwave's just 10:10. I guess I got to come in early. So there's something about this Adonai thing that God's trying to make it, everything about what he does to you very personal, for your personal testimony, so you have personal understanding, personal wisdom. Like when Peter got, when Jesus said, you know, my Father has revealed this to you, that it was like, you know, that was kind of like my Father, my, you know, Peter and my Father, you know, his Father, you know, God began to reveal to him. It became personal. And that's why Jesus saw the relationship that God had started with Peter when he said, you know, my Father, Jesus said, my Father, right? And he saw, was able to see where somebody else was identifying with his Father. And Peter was saying, in a sense, Jesus was saying to Peter, it's like now my Father has become your Father. Like now Peter can say, my Father, you know, not just our Father, but my Father. So I thank you, Lord, for everything that she needs to apply that to, that when she, you know, deals with the devil, deals with it, it's not just about the Lord or a God or the God, but he's my God, my Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I thank you, Lord, for that covenant relationship. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing in Jesus' name, where it's personal. She takes it personal. It's yours. It's not just something that you that's there with you. It's something that is yours. It's mine. That's mine. That's mine. He is mine, and I am his. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Open that up and bless her with that, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Awesome. Adonai. That's what I got. So there you go. All right, 915-248. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas, and could you also pray for my daughter, Bianca?
Absolutely. For Bianca, Lord, we thank you for Bianca. Bianca's been our friend for a long time. And thank you, Daniel, for giving me the opportunity to pray for her. Thank you for Jesus for remind Bianca, God, of what she needs to be reminded of, God, how you love her, how you, you know, you're watching over her, you called her, you've chosen her, you called her to your face, you called her by name, you called her to be yours, Jesus, and that she will remind herself of that. That's why when we take communion, we take communion in reminding ourselves of what Jesus did for us. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And with Bianca, God, that she will be reminded, God, of your comfort, of your love, of your power, of your anointing on her life, Jesus, and that she will, you will reveal yourself to her, God, in new ways. We can never, you know, for eternity, we can never find out everything out about God. There's so much about God to learn. And I thank you, Lord, that she will, it will be a never-ending revelation and understanding of who you are to her, her daddy, her papa, her father, her friend, her lover, her husband, you know, in Jesus' name, her provider. Thank you, Lord, that she will open herself up to that in new ways every day, God. She will see it at deeper levels in Jesus' name, where the more the enemy comes and fights against her, the more that you will rise up within her and show her, you know, who you are to her, God, in Jesus' name. Every time she has a need, whatever that need is, she's going to find out that God has a particular part of himself that takes care of that particular thing. No matter how many millions of things you need, God has a particular part of himself that will fit that particular part of what you need, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, that's, I never thought about that before. That's brand new for me. That right there was brand new. Wow. Every little particular individual, certain kind of need that we have, nobody else really. People may have something similar, but they don't have it the way we have it because we're a unique person. That God has a specific detailed part of himself that will fit that need and meet her where she's at, in Jesus' name, to bless her, God. Hallelujah. All right. And for Daniel, God, bless Daniel, God. We'll let the Father rise up within him in Jesus' name. And the Father that, like we talked about last night, I think it was last night, about how that when a mother, when that womb opens up and gives birth to that child for the first time, that motherhood just is also, you know, brought with that. And she goes from being a girl into a mother. And simply by the womb opening up and that baby showing up, that mother thing kicks in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the father part of Daniel, God, that the same thing with him. When we give birth to our children, when our wives give birth to our children, We become a father. Father something activates. And I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual part of him, that you will birth in him a new level of being a father in Jesus' name and believing for his children, believing like Job did. Job believed for his children. He believed for them. He trusted for them. He stood in the gap for them. And God, I think of that Daniel and the father in Daniel. God will do that in Jesus' name at new levels and new places. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. To cover, protect, to guard, to watch over. Amen. To give over to God. Like Abraham. Abraham was a true father. He's a father of our faith. A spiritual father of our faith. And he gave over his own son. Sometimes we are tested to see will we give our children over to God. You know? Yeah. So it's a true test to be a true father. All right, 610-969, who would talk to you from, please?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Right, I didn't know if you heard me. Shalom.
Yeah, I did. All right, thank you
so much.
All right, thank you. Right. Carmen just said, I'm confusing the Bianca. Daniel's Bianca is not the Bianca that we know. I think I should have that by now, right? Yeah, okay. Either way, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. But the prayer's good. Amen. Thank you for that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that she lives. You're teaching her how to live by you and whatever it takes. If she has to give her life for you, God, that she will do that. Working that in her life, you know, removing fear of death, removing the fear of any kind of death, you know, with any kind of sense, God, that we, that, you know, if God chooses for us to be, you know, like in Christ's place, you know, what God did with Jesus was that he the enemy against Jesus to have him crucified illegally. In other words, Jesus didn't do anything wrong, and he had him nailed under the law for, and he's an innocent man. So when he did that, he used Jesus to get the devil in trouble, right? It's really basically what he did. He used Jesus to get the devil legally in trouble because he, you know, orchestrated that thing and had him killed. And so he was an innocent servant. And so sometimes God may choose to use us to get people to come against us, to whatever, to fight us. And if we're innocent, you know, in that sense, then he will use that to bring them to Jesus, not necessarily destroy them. He will use it to, you know, when they break the law, when they break God's law and come against us or fight against us in the wrong manner, in the wrong way, and we're innocent, then he will use that to go after them. Go after them to take them out, but he will go after them sometimes for salvation. He'll go after them in ways that he couldn't go after them before because now they come against, you know, like they came against Jesus, if they came against Joseph, you know, that opened up a door for, you know, for God to be able to do some things for Israel. You know, Israel, the 10 tribes, you know, that they were the 12 tribes, and part of the tribes came against Joseph. And so, and yet God used that to, when they broke the law, if you will, of God, and they got jealous and sent him off, God used that to even bless them. So sometimes, you know, God can use what people do against us and when we're innocent to bring blessing to them. He can also be open to deal with them about things that he's never been able to deal with them before. So sometimes we have to offer up ourselves and go, God, you can use me however you want to. If you want to use me to bless somebody, if you want to use me to judge somebody, to bring judgment, in a sense of bringing judgment that will bring to Christ, like Paul the Apostle handed that young man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, saving his soul, you know, for what? To change him. You know, he offered him up. He did that. So we thank the Lord that that Lisa, it will be willing to be used by you in any way that you choose. She's a willing vessel, willing to do that, honored to do that. God, even if it causes us problems, like with Joseph, it caused him a lot of problems. With Jesus, of course, it cost him his life. Cost him, you know, the betrayal and denial of his disciples and a lot of things. But in the end, His disciples won, the globe won, the world won, Jesus won, and the Father won. But had used someone, Jesus was willing to be used. That's why he said, let this cup pass from me. Can this cup pass from me? Because he knew what he's about to do. He's going to use Jesus to be crucified, to be killed against the law of God, so that God could basically crucify the devil and set people free. So even today, sometimes things like that happen. So I thank the Lord that she's willing to be used for that, whatever reason you call it to, in Jesus' name, and that she will watch the Lord do his work in whatever way he wants, in Jesus' name. Amen. Even sometimes when our own family members come against us, it's not just to bring down judgment on them, as we know, to destroy them. It is to, many times, to get them. God couldn't get them any other way, tried all the different ways. Now he's going to take it to another level, and it may cause some problems, but it's going to eventually open up the door for them to get right with God. Amen? So God will use us for that. We have to be willing to be able to do that. Jesus was willing. He said, not my will. I know you're going to use me to destroy Satan and bring salvation to the world. You're going to use me. I'm going to be crucified on the cross. The pain and suffering, you're going to use me. Joseph was used. The prophets, Jeremiah was used. And so it's a thing. Awesome. 803-991, who am I talking to? Something.
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina. And can you pray for my niece, Olivia? She hasn't been feeling good.
What's her name again? Olivia?
Olivia, yes.
Olivia, okay, thank you. Absolutely, Olivia. Thank you, Lord, for Olivia. God, we thank you for Olivia tonight. We thank you for the sacredness of your word to Olivia, God, that somehow the sacred word of God will become sacred to Olivia. God, that she will realize the sacredness of the word of God, the sacredness of God's Holy Spirit, the work of God, the things of God, that they are sacred, that they are not to be toyed with, that when people toy with them, like when she sees people toy with the things of God or mess with it, or blaspheme or curse God or whatever they do, God, that she will respect and honor and sanctify the Lord in her heart, God, in Jesus' name, so that she can be set apart and be used by you, Jesus, to be healed, to be touched, to be blessed, to be freed, to be used by you, God, in whatever fashion you want, that you choose to use her. And Jesus' name, that you sanctify her and set her apart to protect her, watch over her, keep her, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you sanctify her and set her apart. Father, in all the ways that you sanctified her and set her apart, reveal that to her. You know, God can sanctify and set us apart for many different uses. And I thank you, Jesus, for you revealing those uses to her that, you know, for like Jesus was, you know, I could share with somebody earlier, the uses that God used him to, you know, heal the sick. God used him to raise the dead. God used him to rebuke the Pharisees. God used him to cleanse the temple, to deal with the money changers, the merchandisers. God used him to do a lot of different things. He had a multi-task thing going on. And, you know, God also used him to take down the devil, to crucify Satan, by allowing himself to be crucified, as we just shared with someone earlier. But thank you, Jesus, for that, for the uses that you're going to use her, God. You're going to use her like she's already written a book. You're going to use her to do many different things. And Lord, I thank you for showing her the multi uses that you're going to use her in, the many different things. God, the manifold ways, the manifold blessing in her life, God, in Jesus' name, that there will be many of them, and that she will yield herself to them, God, and whatever, when I first got saved, I was used to be an intercessor, a prayer warrior, an evangelist, I was used to bear witness to my family, try to win a city to Christ, going door to door. I mean, yeah, God, whatever way he wanted to use me, it was many different ways. Lord, I thank you for opening her up to all those ways, God, that she would see them, know them, and whatever you called her to be a part of or to do, the task you called her to be a part of, that you have anointed her and given her the ability to do it, right? Just like we talked about the other night, when a woman gives birth to a child and she didn't think she could be a mother, all of a sudden when that womb opens up and they give birth to that child, what gives birth to her also is the ability to be a mother, the love of a mother. So the same thing happens when we get birth. God births something through us to do something in the ministry or to write a book or whatever the thing we're going to do. He births also in us the ability to do that, to function with it, to the gifts and the abilities that we need to make that thing work. It's like a mother that gives birth, the love for that child, to raise that child in all the ways, you know, to as born to lay in her life down for him. That's what is birth. When a child is birthed, it is brought forth in that womb. It shows it with ministry things too. In any kind of task that God has done. Right, same thing. When it gets birthed in us, also what gets birthed in us is the abilities to the qualification, all that is birthed along with it, comes with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, reveal that to her, show her God, open her up to that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 847-505, who would talk to you from, please?
Hello, Prophet Randy. This is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. Hey, Marja. Thank you for Marja. Thank you, God, for the blessings in her life, God, for counting, for learning how to count those blessings. Sometimes the enemy gets us distracted on looking at things that are not important, things that God's not even really ready to do yet, and that are not ready to come to pass, ready to be manifested. So they get us to look at the things that aren't happening, and then the Lord says, count your many blessings. Start learning how to the strategy of God. Is to count the blessings, to start looking at the things that we do have, even if it's just one thing. If God has done one thing in our life, we have that one thing we can look at. And that one thing, when we bless it and we break it and we give it to God, can be multiplied and increased. Like Jesus multiplied the bread. He had little bit. He didn't have enough. It's like sometimes we're going like, God, there's not enough. There's not enough happening. There's not enough going on. Well, we'll take the one little bit we have. We lift it up. We bless it. We break it. And we give it back to God and give him thanks for what he's doing, and it causes the blessing to get in there. It causes things to happen. It causes the blessing to be in the multiply. It causes opens the door for people to be blessed through us. And then we all of a sudden we have more blessings coming back to us than we can even count, more than we gave out, because that the whole thing about blessings. So we keep our eyes on the things God has done for us and thanking him for it, the spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. So that we can continually open the door for more things being added to us. It's the spirit of thanksgiving is what opens up the doors. It opens up the gates. Open up your gates. Open up your doors, oh, your everlasting gates. And let the King of Glory come in. Sometimes we have to open the gates of praise so that the blessings can come in. Amen. By our praise and by our thanksgiving. So, Lord, I thank you for singing the songs of Jesus, singing the songs of the Lord, giving you praise, God, giving you honor for what you've done, and watch it, those things begin to be multiplied and increased in Jesus' name. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those other things are added to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, cool. All right. 720-819, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. Jeff and Yuki in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, Las Vegas. All right, cool. All right, Jeff and Yuki is back from, I think she was in Turkey, and I hope she had a lot of turkey while she was there, but probably not. I don't know. I don't know what they do in Turkey, but I don't think they have turkey, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, hummus. That's what they have. Not Hamas. They have hummus. Hamas. Get some hummus. Thank the Lord for that, for all the messes, all the things that you use Yuki to fix and deal with and work on, and God, how to be a problem solver, how to solve problems, how to resolve problems, how to disengage the enemy in areas where he's gotten engaged, and to disengage him, to get him off the thing where, he's not part of it, he's not in there, and disengaging him. Thank you, Lord, for the strategies of God to keep the good and throw away the bad. Like when the parable of, when he threw the net out and caught the fish, brought the fish in, he kept the good fish, threw the bad fish back. The strategies, the ways, the things of how to deal with issues and problems. Sometimes we just throw them back. It's just that simple. And thank you, Lord, for giving her that wisdom in Jesus' name, how to be a problem solver at a new level that she's never known before, Jesus. And amen, that activity of being able to, like Jesus, when he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was solving a big problem. There's people out there that are hungry. if they don't get food, they're going to pass out. They're going to, you know, struggle. They're going to battle. Some people, you know, all kinds of things going on. So what was solving the problem? Multiplying the bread. Problem he had. God showed him the way to solve the problem. When the lawyers came and asked him questions that nobody could answer probably but him, he gave him the ability to answer those questions, to disengage the enemy's strategies from messing up, you know, what was going on. So thank you, Lord, for that involvement and that power of that and the anointing for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff, God. I thank you, Lord, for showing him how to point out those things. The finger of the Lord, take the finger of the Lord and point at things that are important. Point at things that that God is doing, being able to point that finger at what's happening and to come in agreement with God and declare and decree that thing shall be, that thing shall be, that thing shall be. And the things that are not, that we just let them, we throw them back into the lake, throw them back where they belong. So thank you, Jesus, for that ability to point the finger of God and to what God is doing and to rebuke the things that need to be rebuked, to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. And Jesus' name, and the stamina and the strength and the courage to do that, God, and the graciousness and the will of the Father in him to keep his eyes on what's good for the kingdom. Amen, in Jesus' name. And being able to walk around those people that are swine, you know, so don't cast your pearls before the swine. Swine are usually people who don't value much of anything. You know, they don't know the hard work you've been through to build and do what you're doing. They don't see it. They trample on it all the time. So God's showing you how to avoid casting your pearls before swine, people who just don't quite get it yet and who just trample all over it. Like, you know, they don't value it. They don't appreciate it. That you'll be able to learn how to not cast his pearl before those kind of people. It's one thing to cast food towards somebody. You know, the other thing, cast your pearls. Pearls are things that are precious to you that most people do not understand, struggle and the sweat and the trouble that we've gone through to be who we are, be where we're at. He'll not cast his pearl before those kind of people because it's very discouraging. The enemy tries to use it to bring us down. I think you've already shown him how to point the finger of God at that and take care of it. So, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. 863-605. I'm going to talk to you real quick.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki. Could you pray for Josh, please?
Yes, Josh. Sure. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Josh. Lord, we thank you for Josh, God. We thank you for his inheritance, God. That Josh's inheritance, God, is you. You called him to inherit from you, God, and not from the world, not from the devil. And his inheritance has to do with you, God, that he has a heritage not only in the natural realm, but from the spiritual realm, God, that his heritage comes from God the Father. Because like Nikki, you know, being born again, being a daughter of heaven, you know, and him being, you know, when we are your sons and your daughters, we have a heritage. We have an inheritance to receive. And so they go out, you know, to like the prodigal son went out and tried to, you know, do all this stuff and wasted all the things that he had. And he came back and he said, well, you know, if I can just, you know, be in the barracks with the servants, I'll be fine. At least I'll have some food. And the father, you know, the inheritance, the person, the father said, no, you know, this is your inheritance. You know, it's yours. So I think they're both showing him that God, he has not, all I do is just reach out to you and receive his inheritance from you, God. You're waiting and longing for him. You're not rejecting him. You're not pushing him back. You're waiting and longing for him to come in Jesus' name. You're looking for him to come from around the corner, come up over the hill in Jesus' name. And now you're going to go running toward him, God. Show him that you will run toward him, Father, in Jesus' name. And for Nikki, God, we thank you, Lord, for giving her a heart for her son, for the heart of the Father. Waiting and longing and looking for that, waiting to, you know, receive him and bless him and know that he is, you know, welcome. He has an inheritance. You know, we all go to the pigsty sometimes and waste things. And we do a lot of wasting, but they never see it until one day they wake up and they go, oh, my God. And I thank you, Lord, you've given her a heart for that, to be standing there waiting. And then when she sees him coming coming around the corner. He's going to run to him like the Father did. And Jesus saying that Helena, you prepared her heart for that and given her faith for that in Jesus' name, and it shall be done. Amen. For Charles, thank you for Charles, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the perfection. God, you're perfecting him. You are causing him to be perfected. And when you perfect us, you take us through storms. You take us through fire. You take us through stuff. You're getting all the trash out of the golden pot. You know, you're trying to get, you know, you turn up the heat. He turns up, and you skim off all the stuff, and we end up with pure gold, with pure blessing, with pure, you know, our motives are pure, our hearts are pure. Our life is pure. We're walking in that realm where we're not just doing, you know, what we think is right and maybe living a good life, but living the life of God. The life of God is the life of gold. The life of the Father is the life of gold, his nature, his presence, his desires, his passion. I thank you, Lord, that Charles, you called him to that in Jesus' name, and to be a father to many. Let him be that in Jesus' name. Open up and bless him for that. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. 919. 995, who would talk to her for you, friend, please? Are you there? All right. Okay, 919. I think it was 919-995. I think it's Cheryl from wherever she's from. Thank you, Jesus, for her inheritance, God, for the inheritance of the Lord inside of her, God, that she will realize that even if we don't have a natural inheritance coming from anything, it doesn't really matter whether we do or we don't. That her eyes are upon you, God, that she's now a blood-bought child of the living God. Her inheritance that comes from the Father cannot be taken by man, cannot be stolen, or it doesn't get old, it doesn't rust, it doesn't fall apart. God, it abides forever. God, that she will begin to see that your inheritance in her is pure and unadulterated and perfect in every way, and that all we got to do is, as we die to ourselves and receive the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has truly died for us and given his life for us, and that we give our life for others, and we're willing to die for him. God, we thank you, Jesus, that inheritance that becomes activated in our life, God, is ours. It's ours. Nobody can take that. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can rob it. It's always there waiting. All you do is just activate it with your faith and your ability to be able to see that it belongs to you, that God belongs to you. And because he belongs to you, because you're his, that everything he has for you belongs to you. I mean, it's in his hands now, but he's in his hands trying to hand it to you, and he's trying to hand it to you, trying to give it to you, trying to place it in your hand, trying to offer it to you, trying to say, hey, here it is. Sure, just reach out and grab it. Just reach out and take it. I've got it right here in my hand. Take it, receive it. Let your receiver begin to receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And be blessed. Amen. For the gift of faith to receive. Amen. All right, 111. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Brother Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara, good having you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for that tapping in thing, tapping in. We're showing her how to tap in, showing her how that you clean things up, you wash things. You know, life is full of things getting messed up and dirty, and we spend our time, we learn to enjoy cleaning. We learn to enjoy keeping things in order. We learn to enjoy, you know, that, because life is just, you know, has that in it. It's part of life. You know, Jesus cleans us. Jesus washes us. Jesus does work in us. You know, and to learn, as we learn to, that what parts of it are just natural of life, and the things that are unnecessary, things we have to clean up all the time from other people, this different stuff we have to clean up that is unnecessary, that can be avoided, Lord, from the difference between that and the things that happen every day with washing dishes and making a mess and, you know, dropping something and cleaning it up. That's everyday life. And then and to enjoy that process of cleaning, of being clean, of being pure, of being keeping our lives under the blood of Jesus every day, and when people splatter trash on us and nonsense and vomit on us, God, we just, you know, it's learned to, it's just part of life. It's what we do. You know, we just cleanse ourselves, wash ourselves. Thank God we have the cleansing power of the blood, wash ourselves. Amen. In Jesus' name, keep ourselves, you know, to enjoy, learning how to enjoy that process and thankfulness for the power of the blood of Christ and the washing of the water of the Word of God. Staying in the gap, God, staying in the gap for those who make messes all the time, who are always messy, always unnecessary messes, not just the natural everyday messes that we have in life, but the like they open the door to all kinds of unnecessary things, and they're always, you know, have stuff going on all the time. And all they do is just learn how to not step into stuff and put themselves in positions to get that happen. Amen. And to, in Jesus' name, to, you know, to avoid some people, some things, some circumstances, you know, unless God has called you to those things, you know, if he hadn't called you to them, then it's an unnecessary mess. If God called you to a mess, then you will enjoy the mess. You will enjoy the virtue of cleaning up and watching God clean up people and do things. I mean, the Holy Spirit loves his job. He loves the fact that he's here to convict us and draw us in and to cleanse us and wash us. He loves it. He loves the fact that he's like a priest. And let the priesthood of Barbara, God, begin to enjoy it more and more and more all the time. And I know she already does, but let her have a brand new joy in being the priest of the Lord. Amen, and the glory and the honor of God to cleanse and wash and to help people. And, yeah, amen. All right, praise God for the priesthood there. 781-775, who am I talking to from, please?
Martine and Gregory from Texas. Can you pray for my mom, please?
Pray for your mom?
Yeah.
Marie?
Please. Yes.
Yeah. For Marie. Okay, yeah. All right, Gregory, Marie, and Martine. So I think for Marie tonight, God, we just ask you to strengthen her, God, to give her wisdom, to give her wherever she's been blinded, where things have come against her and fought her and tried to hang how she's been strong and virtuous. And I think that you give her an extra dose of courage, God, extra dose of strength, insight to see, uncover her eyes, God, in ways that maybe life has just, you know, dealt different blows to her over the years. God, open her eyes to see that through Christ Jesus, God, we can walk through that. We can walk out of that. We can walk in the victory. Lord, and you're going to bless her and teach her all truth. The Bible says, I will lead you and guide you into all truth. And all truth is the truth about whatever we need to know about in the things that we're dealing with, that we'll learn the truth of how to deal with that particular situation and in the Word of God, through the Word of God. I will lead you and guide you into all truth. In other words, God has the answer for all things, and the truth is what answers them. And thank you, Lord, for Marie walking in that and showing her that in Jesus' name, protecting her, keeping her, watching over her, God. Amen. And for Gregory tonight, God, Gregory, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Gregory, God, that you open his heart to the areas he's closed his heart off to new levels of faith. Father, we've just gotten used to a certain thing. He's gotten used to that. Open his heart up to the challenge of when you walk with God by faith, how that God makes it exciting, that you will excite his life with the new challenges, God, the new challenges, heavenly challenges, things that are supernatural, that come from heaven, that come from God, that he will begin to open himself up to knowing that God is wanting to help us in everything that we do, every little detail of our life. He's not just in when we go to church, but when we leave the church, he leaves with us. He goes with us wherever we go, wanting to help us cook, clean up, do, help family, whatever the thing is. He's there with us at all times to do all things. In Jesus' name, you'll give him new excitement about that, God. In Jesus' name, you're with him in everything. You're there with him. You know how to answer all things. Amen, in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for Martine. Thank you, Lord, for Martine, God, that you're cleansing and washing her, God, that you're giving her that freshness, teaching her how to keep that freshness, keeping herself fresh, you know, just like when we take a shower or bathe every day. It's just like keeping ourselves fresh every day. It's just a part of life to keep ourselves fresh. You show her how to keep her faith fresh, how to keep her heart fresh with you, God. And when things get old and things get stale, God, you teach her how to stir things up, to activate things, teach her how to seek the truth in all things and how God wants to reveal the truth. Receive the truth. The truth shall set you free. The truth that you know will set you free. And I thank you, Lord, that she's not just have truth. She's going to know the truth. and that knowing the truth that she knows is going to be what sets her free, God, to be able to deal with anything, any kind of lie, any kind of deception, any kind of anything that comes from family or situations, you know, in life. She's going to be able to deal with him in Jesus' name. That God is our provider, and nothing can stop that because, amen, in Jesus' name, open her up to that new level of faith, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here, 251-229. Can I talk to her from, please?
Hi, this is Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right, Sarah, it's really weird. I was thinking about you today. I really was thinking about you a couple of times. I kept thinking about, well, I wonder how Sarah's doing. So you called tonight, so thank you for checking in. It's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah, God. Thank you for your love for her, Father. Thank you for watching over and show her that everything we do is not perfect, but that you make it perfect when we keep on. We never give up. We keep pursuing you. We keep pursuing you. Jesus, even Jesus learned obedience. He perfected his obedience through, you know, through the things that he suffered. You know, he didn't do everything perfect. He himself never sinned, but he had to learn obedience. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, I think, that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, right? So when we suffer things, that she will never give up in perfecting her faith. She will never give up, God. She'll be like a bulldog going after it and never give in, never give up until she sees what she wants to see, until she sees what she needs to see, God, the blessings of God in her life. And that she will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But standing still, you can't, you know, when we stand still, we've got to stand still. We've got to wait. We've got to look. We've got to, you know, trust God that he's going to do something. We've got to believe God he's going to do something. So I thank you, Lord, for teaching her how to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And that she will stand. Standing means you never give up, you never quit. Sometimes we want to, sometimes we make mistakes, we fail, but that only means that we get up and we go at it again, and we stand into that area of our life is perfected in God the way God wants it. Hallelujah. Amen. You're perfecting her, God, and making her more beautiful every day, Jesus. You're beautifying her heart, beautifying her life, putting beauty around her, Jesus, making her feel beautiful, making her think beautiful thoughts. Whatever things are pure and lovely, think on those things. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 863-808. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for how to get the word out, how to send the word, how to, you know, new levels on how to send the word out, how to speak the word. God's given you a faith. I don't even understand this. I've never heard this before about you that I know of, that he's given you a real faith to how to send the word. You know, like Jesus, the servant came and said, can you come to my house? And he said, he came and said, can you hear my servant? And the Lord goes, yeah, I'll come to your house. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Just send the word. And because he understood authority, he had like you have a business, you understand business, you understand things. Yeah, he understood how authority worked. And I thank you, Jesus, that gift of faith in her, Father, towards sending the word, towards sending the blessing, towards sending, you know, like Jesus sent the word, because that person, you know, had the faith for it. He said, Jesus, I haven't seen much faith like this, man. So thank you, Lord, for her faith, for sending that word, for sending that, for the faith to send it, and it fulfill the purpose for which she sent it out for in Jesus' name. She sent it out, and like David slung that rock, you know, and he sent the word. He sent the word right into the head of Goliath. Sometimes we send the word to do warfare. Sometimes we send the word to bring blessing, bring healing, God, or whatever that sending it out is, God, that she will learn to do it and sling that slingshot, that stone, like David did with Goliath. Amen. In Jesus' name, he was slinging. He was sending the word of the Lord is, how dare you defy the armies of the living God. Thank you, Lord, for that army thing in her, God, that military position in her life, God. You're raising that up and showing her how to activate that. Amen. And it's like the centurion. He was head over 100
100 men, I think, centurion or so, like over 100. He understood authority because of that. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, for that activation. All right, 214-434, who may talk to you from, please? Kimberly and Derek. Thank you both for Kimberly and Derek from that, God. didn't answer the phone, but I know it's who that is. So thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for Kimberly tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you answer her prayers, God. You show her that you are the answer. You're the answer to when we pray correctly, when we pray right. So thank you, Lord, for you're showing her how to pray in the Spirit, pray correctly, pray the right prayers, pray the prayers that are birthed in her heart, how the desires, how to connect them to the desires of the Lord. Because when we pray out of a desire realm, we always get it. Because the reason it's so powerful is because it's not just us praying a prayer that we think God wants to do. We're praying a prayer because of the passion of our desires. You know, want that from God. And when it's our passion, when it's our desire, it's a whole different kind of power behind that prayer. And it is when we're just praying something we think might be the will of God with it. So thank you, Lord, for showing her how to walk in that, how to pray in that, how to live in that realm to get answers. God, how to pray from that position of desires. In Jesus' name. Amen, and open her up for that, God, and pray for Derek tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, that you bring things together, that you cause harmony and peace and blessing, God. We thank you that you move things out that need to move, God. You move things in that you want moved in. In Jesus' name, and let all it begin to develop and that begin to happen and work, God, that you move out things you don't want in his life and move the things in that you want, in Jesus' name, to keep him from wasting time on things that are not important for him, or that are good for him, but that are a distraction and negative for his life. God, and that you're bringing him to a place where he's able to focus in on the things that you brought into his life in Jesus' name and focus on those things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And open him up, God, to favor to that realm that you favored him and you want him to favor you and favor your will. And when we do that, we find peace and tranquility, knowing that God is doing something awesome. Amen. In Jesus' name, that we desire the will of the Father, and therefore the will of the Father is done. You know, it works out for good. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 912-398, you don't have your hand up. So I don't know if you're just sitting there or not. 704-614, you don't have your hand up either. 608-960, you don't have your hand up. Another 111, you don't have your hand up. So if you want your hand up, there you go. All right, 912-398, you want to talk to me from, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Hi, Paulette. Paulette, good to have you tonight. Okay. Thank you both for Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, good to have you tonight, Paulette. Thank you, Jesus, for those divine appointments, God, in her life, God, the messages that you've given her to give it to other people, that she will learn how to share them. More and more, the different ways that Jesus talks, the different ways that Jesus shares information. Sometimes we have to come with boldness and strength. Sometimes we come with meekness and humility, and sometimes all that together. But thank you, Lord, for the showing her how to do that. How to walk in love. God, when we give messages, sometimes love can be strong. It can be bold. It can be appear to be too strong, but love is passionate. And we thank you, Lord, for all the different ways you use her for love, to reveal love, to show love. Love hates evil, and love just loves people, but it hates evil. And so love is a major thing. And I thank you, Jesus, that's why love is the greatest, because love actually becomes the greatest weapon that we have. Love is the greatest weapon because it hates evil and it destroys it. It comes against it. It fights against it. It causes it to close down all the things that are causing problems. Amen. Love is a powerful weapon. It's the most powerful thing. It's the greatest of all. It's our greatest weapon. We thank you, Jesus, for that. It's our greatest weapon against love. It's our greatest weapon against unforgiveness. It's our greatest weapon against those things that kind of bring strife in our family. God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, love can sustain all things and believe God for all things. Man, hope for all things. Hallelujah. Love is the greatest. All right, 370, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Angie from Virginia. Just on a different number.
Yeah. I don't think I know you.
Hello.
Hello. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, usually you have a different number. All right, Edge. Great. Different number. Maybe God's giving you a new name. A new name, a new identity. There you go. Thank you, Lord, for a new identity with her, God, that you sometimes we identify with our old, with our past. And our past can have some awesome things in it. My past has had some awesome things. I've had some awesome times where God's used me, God's done stuff. You know, and my identity gets wrapped up in some of that, and that's a good thing. But then sometimes God begins to change my maturity level to a whole different thing, so that my identity becomes wrapped up in, like with Jesus, when he went to got ready to go to the cross, his identity, even though he was still Jesus, his identity was no longer the guy that everybody tried to take, you know, when they tried to throw him off the cliff. You know, he's the guy that always got out of it. He's the guy that passed right through him. He's the guy that nobody can grab, nobody can take a hold of. His identity was wrapped up in it. Everybody goes, oh, I know Jesus. He's that guy that nobody ever is able to get. Every time he rebukes him and all these people with all this money and power and authority to get him, can't get him. He just slipped right through him. And then all of a sudden, when he said, at the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. He opened himself up to a whole different identity. And he opened himself up to being the Lamb of God, to, you know, doing what he was born to do. His whole identity changed. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus was being looked at differently. That's why Peter denied him, because all of a sudden he's going like, you're not the Jesus we knew. Jesus we knew, you know, always escaped. You know, that's why you're the Messiah, because you escaped horror and trouble and problems. Now his identity with Peter, so Peter's identity of Jesus even changed. But later, Peter's identity had to change about Jesus, but he saw him now as that's one part of the identity of Jesus that Peter couldn't get a hold of, was that he said he's going to die on the cross, and he's the Lamb of God, and not just the lion, but the Lamb, and his identity. So thank you, Lord, for her identity moving to a higher level, a more beautiful level, a more powerful level, God, in Jesus' name, where she's able to identify herself as like Jesus did. So now he's moving into a whole other realm. He's moving into doing what he was born to do, give his life for the Lord, give his life for the Father in Jesus' name, and all the power of God that came on him. The power of God was strong on him to do what he did then than it was when he was raising the dead, because it was a much higher level of sacrifice, much higher level of anointing, because of what he's doing. So thank you, Lord, for that and her life, God, that you're changing her identity, you're changing her number. Got a new number. Hey, Angel, call her up and tell us and stuff. Well, she has a new number, Lord. What are we in? A new identity. Yeah, we're going to give her. Well, thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah, anyway, I'm just kidding. But thank you, Lord, for that identity, that new identity, God. In Jesus' name. And just like Jesus, he was always Jesus, but his identity changed. Now, you know, really opened the door for Peter to deny Jesus, because everything that he identified him as no longer was. Still looked like Jesus, still talked like Jesus, but now he's being taken, and so that just totally changed his identity of Christ. And he denied that. And so, you know, then later he changed it, and God changed his identity to the resurrected Christ. Which is a whole different thing. So thank you, Lord. I don't understand all that, but thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 704-614. Who may I talk to your friend, please?
Hey, this is Deborah from South Carolina.
Hey, Deborah. All right, Deborah. Good to have you. Deborah, thank you, Jesus. Deborah, thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection, God, that we can offer anything to God, whatever it is, like Abraham offered up Isaac, because he understood the power of resurrection. And he had seen God, you know, do many things with him. And as he got older, of course, that's the reason God waited till he was older to offer up Isaac, is because he understood, he identified the Father as, I will protect you. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And at first, Abraham didn't understand that, so he protected himself a couple of times. But Pharaoh and Abimelech calling Sarah his sister and getting her to agree with that, they're saying they'll kill me, and he didn't quite get it, but God knew he wasn't going to get it at first, and little by little he began to grasp the fact that whatever God says to do, you know, whatever he says to do it, he's going to, God's blessings is on him, and there's nothing that can stop that. Even if he asked him to offer up his future was Isaac. Amen. His future was Isaac. And God was saying, now I'm asking you to give up your future, yield your future up to me. And he knew that whatever it was, that his blessings were on him, and that when he offered up his future to God, that God was going to raise it up and resurrect it no matter what. Well, thank you, Lord, that whatever enemy comes against Deborah, Father, for her future, for what you're calling her to do, God, that nothing can stop it. Nothing can hinder it from manifesting. We're entering to a phase, I think, like when I give that word just a while ago to Angie about identity. I think our identity with God is going to change. I think the whole identity of who God really is going to change from a lot of people that I love for years, the Copelands and other people who have identified, in some ways, identified God as somebody who's not trying to make God into a good God. They made him into a good man, you know, just things like that. So our identity with God, God says, I've called you, Deborah, to give my people a new identity, the identity who I've always been. God is just, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but his identities have been changed. People have changed him, not knowing what they're doing. And you're going to cry out and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And bring God back God's identity for who he really is. And that's really, Deborah, is what Jesus came to do, was bring God's true identity back, because they had lost it. They love God, of course, but they had lost his identity and who he really was. And Jesus said, I'm coming to reveal you to you who my Father really is. And of course, they killed him over it, but he also got raised again from the dead over it, too. So whatever price we're willing to pay, you know, we know that God's going to resurrect it, whatever it's going to be. Whatever he asks us to offer up, our reputation, our time, our children, our family, our money, our future, whatever it is that we know. I know that through the years you've learned, God will resurrect whatever in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And the offerings that we offer up are offered up knowing that there's going to be a resurrection of some sort, of some kind. So we don't fear having to offer up. We don't fear the loss. We don't fear. Abraham didn't fear the loss of Isaac. He didn't fear the loss of his future. He knew that God was somehow, some way, taking it to another level. And it's about resurrection. So thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, it's 11 o'clock, and two more people here don't have their hands up. And sometimes people call in. We have till midnight for people to call in. So until somebody raises their hand, I'm going to take a little break, and you get the hand up there. I will come back on and take your call. So I'm going to give it a few minutes, and I think I'm getting faster at praying for people. I don't know what it is. Really awesome. All right. Getting more done in less time. Amen. Why don't we have to go for 3 or 4 hours and we can get it all done in a couple hours? Wouldn't that be awesome? We can go 4 hours, but we can get done in 4 hours. But it normally takes us to get done in 8 hours. Yeah. I take that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for that. Guys, get your hand up there if you want prayer tonight. I prayed over Kimberly and Derek already. Oh, she's left the phone for a minute there, but I got you already. To mute myself for a minute, I'll be right back.